Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're starting over again, and we thank God for you. We thank God for you on today that we're able to come and to give you another time of coming for the warfare hour. We're coming to you live from the city of Gary, Indiana, and we want to thank you for being with us on today, having a little bit of technical difficulty, but guess what? The enemy is not going to win. We are going to iron everything out. I'm Apostle Carlton Clark, and we have another treat for you today. On last week, we had to go funeralize our uncle in Toledo, Ohio, and the enemy got busy, but we still did what God said do. And we were able to make it to Toledo and be a blessing to our family. But you were able to hear a repeat of one of our previous podcasts in December with myself and Prophet Matthew Barnes. Well, today is March the 15th, 2012, and it is live. It is not Memorex. And we do have myself and our son in the ministry, my son that I love so dearly. He's a wonderful man of God. And his name is Matthew Barnes, also from the City of Glory. We're going to go ahead and let him speak while we work on these technical difficulties. Amen.
Amen. Give him praise to God. Give him praise to the kingdom and the initiative which God has graced us to operate in. Glad you all tuned in tonight. We have a treat for you all. So I ask that you grab your Bibles, get you a pen and a pad, take some notes tonight. We're going to talk about some things that will be very interesting pertaining to the body of Christ. And so I just say strap your seatbelts in and get ready, because the word of the Lord is about to bring something to us to where we can look at some things and be able to look at our lives and then be able to walk in such a way where it pleases God. I want to thank Apostle Clark for the opportunity, and thank you all for listening and coming back. We appreciate that so very much. Now I'm going to give you back to Apostle Clark. We'll say a prayer and we'll get started.
Amen. We'd like to also remind everyone that when we do come together, we ask that you would kind of go in the mode of a different kind of understanding. For we recognize that some of the things that we may say and that we may do maybe a little different from what you're used to hearing. And that's all good, because we do intend that you will study to show yourself approved unto God, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth. We expect you to do some further investigation. Do all you can to prove us wrong, because what we intend to do is to give you the unadulterated truth as God has given it to us. And here at the Warriors for Christ, we do have a new telephone number for those of you that would want to contact us. We still are on Facebook. You can contact us at 219-201-7402. Let me rephrase that, 200-7402. That's 219-200-7402. And we are on Facebook at Carlton Clark at yahoo.com. We pray that you would write us letters, correspondence. You could also come to us at 2225 Roosevelt Place here in the City of Glory, which is Gary, Indiana, 46404. And we take this opportunity to thank the Kingdom Builders International and the Kingdom Daughters for allowing us to come together once more. And again, we thank our covering Apostle Leonard Emmons and the Limitway Christian City here in the City of Glory. And all of you that tune in each week to hear what thus said the Lord, we always ask that you would repeat this scripture with us to kind of get us started, because we realize that it's going to be a little difficult sometimes for us to be able to grasp what it is that we're looking for. So we ask for assistance from God. God told us in Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 7th verse, to ask and it shall be given unto us to seek, and that we shall find, and for us to knock, and the door shall be opened unto us. And so we come now doing that, praying that all the things that we say, that all the things that we do, will be in the kingdom. So if you will, repeat these words after me. Open thy mind eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. That's Psalms 119, verse 18, which is basically saying, dear Lord, please let me be able to understand what it is I'm finna read, what it is I'm finna hear, and what I'm finna study. And we pray and know that God can and will do what he said he would do. The last time that we came to you, we've been all over the place with the kinds of things that warfare entails. We talked about the family the last few times we've been together, but we specialized in the men and the fathers, which is what we were talking about. We were keying in on the family because the men are beginning to take their rightful place all over the earth, and in order for them to understand their rightful place, we had to get back in the scriptures and see what thus said the Lord concerning family. What is it that he ordained? What is it that he placed for us to be here? What is it that we're supposed to do to maintain some semblance of God and the Godhead? What did he leave here? And we talked about how the women have stepped up and carried the stick, carried the brick, carried the load for so long. And we recognize, women, that without you, the church probably would be in total shambles. But we also recognize that God has put us in a position to retake over those things and to strengthen the areas all over the planet. And so that's what we're here to do, is to continue talking about the weapons of warfare and the kinds of things that God has intended for us. So today we're just going to be going back and forth. Prophet Barnes had a few things that he wanted to bring up, so we're going to allow that. Our theme is kind of along the lines of, who is he and what is he to you? That's who is he and what is he to you? And we're going to be messing around in Ephesians and Matthew and a few other scriptures, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. But we do ask that you will use whatever recording devices you have, that you'll be able to get all the information that you need today. We pray that we are a blessing to you. And we're going to go ahead and get started. With the title of Who Is He and What Is He to You, many of us go about our lives thinking we really know what God has for us. We may be have gone to church for pretty much all of our life. We recognize our purpose. We may even recognize a calling that's on our life. We particularly those of us that are in the fivefold, you know, those that are apostles and prophets and evangelists, teachers, those that have ministry gifts, the laying on of hands, the diversity of tongues, the healing, the gifts of administration, all those wonderful things that God has placed on the earth. But when we talk about who is he and what is he to you, I got that from an old song back in the day. It's a secular song. I think it was by Bill Withers. And he said, "That garment, who is he and what is he to you?" Now, he was talking about a woman and a and a guy that walked by and was staring at the woman kind of hard. But when I thought about that and heard that in my consciousness, I thought about the series of things that had happened to me in my zeal and my quest to get to the funeral in Toledo, Ohio. I ended up hitting a wolf. Actually, the wolf charged my vehicle at 75 miles an hour, and if I didn't turn my wheel or anything, I hit the wolf and tore up my wife's car. She still loved me, though. Hallelujah. She still loved me. I didn't get hurt, but it was a 2.5-hour trip turned into an 18-hour quest to make it to a funeral. And everything that I did, which I had to stay busy, I had to believe I was going to make it, but everything that I did, none of those things were working in order to get me to the funeral. And finally, the Lord spoke up and said, I got this. And he sent someone to pick me up. And even though the funeral had started an hour earlier, we got to the funeral and were still able to be a blessing to our family, as well as to receive some wonderful information and some things began to manifest even greater in our lives, and we pray that you'll be able to be a recipient of the blessings that God has placed in our lives. But what I saw was, you know, sometimes we think we know who we are. We think we know who God says we are. We really think we understand. But our understanding is so minuscule in compared to where God sees us. God sees us way differently than we see ourselves. Yeah, we recognize the purpose and that we might be have ministry gifts and things of that nature, but it's still so small and minuscule compared to what it is that he sees in our life. Generally, on the surface, you would think that it is God to us. But what about us to God? When I said, who is he and what is he to you, I imagine the enemy, as in Job. You know, it says that the sons of God were meeting with God, and then it says, as Satan also. And it says that as they were meeting, he walked up and began to speak to God. And I thought about that. And I could see him asking God, when I was going through what I was going through, who is he, that Carlton fellow? Who is he? And what is he to you? And I could see God say, don't you see the blood? Don't you see the blood on him? I shouldn't have to tell you anything. Don't touch him. Don't you see the blood? Don't you see the light and the life that's in him? Who is he and what is he to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Who is he? And when you look at the various points of your life, you begin to maybe have been raised in church, brought to church services as a young man, a young lady, and you hear about the Bible stories. You hear about Daniel and the lion's den. You hear about the three Hebrew boys. And you continue to hear about who God is to them. And we begin to listen to the various stories in Sunday school. And we knew who God was to those people in the Bible. But truly, in this day and age, who is God to you? When we look at our situation, even pertaining to us and our salvation and being able to accept him as our Lord and Savior, him choosing us first, not us choosing him first, but him choosing us and him predestining us and sanctifying us and having a plan and a strategy for us,
who is he to us? And that just bring me to a place to where it's like, man that he made, and why is he so mindful of man? Who is he to us? Who is he to us? And I think about the investment. I'm like, man, like, look at the investment that God has invested in us. And like, when you begin to read the word and it talks about the earthen vessels, the treasures in those earthen vessels, clay jars. I look at God as that potter, and I look at the investment in the potter, and it's like asking the vessel or the vase to ask the potter, who is he to you? Well, he's my creator. He fortified me. He put me together. He broke me, molding me, making me, beating me, mending me, kneading me, and putting me in the fire so that I can become this beautiful object, not just an object, but a vessel to be used for his will. When you look at the relationship of the pottery and the potter, you look at the form in which they met, how they got together, the significance of his hands with his pottery, his hands with his creation, and we are his creation. We need to please God. Who is he to you? After him creating us, after him breathing his breath into our nostrils and man became a living soul, who is he to you? After he's blew his breath into you, who is he to you? Him giving you life, you can move and live and have your being because he breathed life. He spoke a better thing over you. Even while you were drowning in your blood, he saved you, sanctified you, died while we were yet sinners. Who is he to you? And truly, the relationship in which that you need to take more seriously, the relationship that you need to spend time with, the person or the Spirit of God that you need to yearn for, desire for, that you need to hunger for and thirst after, that you might be filled. And when we look at the time that we put in and the things that we go after, we really don't know who he really is to us because the evidence of a thing is really not seen in us because he said we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. So city, let your light so shine. So the city should be able to see us because the light is shining in us because our relationship is so intertwined, the two becoming one, to where you see him. Even though you see my physical, you see the Spirit of God. You see the light in me, the light on me. You see the light moving around me, the ambiance. Him, even with Moses, his face was shining bright because of the relationship. And so you have to draw near, draw closer to understand this relationship. And truly, this is a relationship to where you can benefit. Now, the benefiting part of a relationship is that you need to give both ways in order for the relationship to work. But because he loved us, because he so loved us, he gave.
Right.
He gave to us. And even in the midst of them crucifying him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, even now with the salvation. And that's knowing who he is and reading the scripture and saying, Lord, I love you and I bless you and I thank you. We continue to crucify him afresh. But he sits on the mercy seat, continuing to intercede for us.
Yes.
He longs to pray for us. And there he's saying, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, Lord, have mercy. The blood of Jesus continue to speak a better thing for us, on us. And so we need to really look at the relationship of who we are in relationship with, pertaining to this word of God, pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then when you look at it, him wanting to come back for a bride, a church without spot or wrinkle. Look at our relationship.
Yeah.
And when you look at the relationship that we're in, the spots and the wrinkles that are in our relationship to where we don't walk right together, we don't look right together, and so we walk away from him.
He don't walk away from us, but we walk away from him because there are spots and wrinkles in our relationship. And the communication, when we begin to talk, we don't even talk in the heavenly language and spend time in the prayer closet to where we can get answers and results. When we talk about miracles, when we talk about signs and wonders, we can't get that because the relationship is spending the time in the communication. We have to rightly get this in our hearts to where we love him as he loved us, and we can love with a pure love in this relationship. And we take the relationship for granted, but how is it that he can come back for us and we're not ready? We don't want to be those foolish virgins with no oil in our lamps. At the time that he returns, at the time of the bridegroom returning for his bride, we'll be those foolish virgins if we're not cautious and careful about our relationship with who he is and who the water running out of his side when he was spirit in his side. We don't take the relationship to a place to where we love him and honor the things that he gave to us, those things in Hebrews 12 that they waited for. The Holy Spirit's coming. They wanted to see the Holy Spirit. And some dying in the faith, not for taking of the Holy Spirit, but they were waiting for this relationship. The connection in the relationship, some died, even in Ezekiel, because of the promise. He rose them up because he promised them that they would rest in the promised land. Look at the relationship. Look at the communication. Look at the faith of the Word of God, the words of the beloved one that they held on to, the love that you can hold on to, the love that's unfailing, that'll never die. The love that continues to speak even if you walk away, because he talks to everything he created. We have to understand truly what this is, who he is, the passion, the zeal, and the fire in which God allowed Jesus to come down here, the passion in God wanting to get his people back, get the thing that he created back because somebody stole from him. God so loved us that Jesus is readily available. Salvation is readily available for us.
Man, that's some good stuff right there.
Now, y'all ought to be on fire. This is giving you a little tidbit, see, because we really just not getting started. Hallelujah. It don't get any better than this. Now, turn to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 4 through verse 6. And I'm reading out of the Amplified. And this really says exactly what the man of God just finished expressing so audaciously. it reads like this. Even as in his love he chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own. In Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated and set apart for him, and blameless in his sight, even above reproach before him in love. Now, I don't know about you, but if you was paying any part of his attention, I believe that's part of what the man of God said. Verse 5, for he foreordained, I believe he started out with that, he foreordained us and destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted or revealed as his own children through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the purpose of his will, because it pleased him and it was his kind intent. It pleased him. It was his kind intent. Verse 6, so that we might be to the praise and to the commendation of his glorious grace, favor, and mercy, which he so freely bestowed of us in the beloved. He beloved us. He wanted us to be special and spectacular and extraordinary and all those other words that you can't think of when you're trying to describe who our Lord and who our Savior is. He intended for us to be way more than what we are. Like I say, who is he and what is he to you? Even when you turn it around and have the enemy, because see, people say that to you. Who you think you are? Same thing. Who you think you are? Because they don't know. See, they see the light that's on you. They feel the presence. And they want to smear what's on you
They want to kill, steal, and destroy because they got a little bit of something that's on the inside of them that they didn't want. But yet, nevertheless, they still ended up with it. Earlier in the year, we read a prayer concerning sloth. And people kind of lost their mind a little bit, you know, at least some of those that I know. They took offense to my calling them slothful. But I didn't call them slothful. Matter of fact, a man of God called me slothful the other day, and I understood exactly how folks felt. Because it's just something about the word slothful that don't sound right. And it shouldn't sound right because it's not right. We allow this particular demon of behemoth to come in and take over, ruin, and run our life. We developed a prayer for deliverance from sloth. Later on, we're going to talk about that. But the man of God said he got a few more things he wanted to just freshen up on before we go into some more scriptures. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm still, who is he and what is he to you? I begin to look at Galatians, to where we have been called from servants to sons. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son unto your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We're going to read it from the Amplified to give you more clarity.
Amen. Here it says, verse 5, verse 5. To purchase the freedom of, to ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who are subject to the law, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's sons. Verse 6, and because you really are his sons, God has sent the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Father. Verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave or bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Christ.
Amen. I just wanted that to be read because a lot of times when we look at the relationship, who is he? And what is he to you? When you look at the bond, or you being bound and you having the yokes about your neck, you drowning in your own blood, struggling with sin and alcohol and pornography and drugs and any and everything that we have been into that we may struggle with even now. A lot of us really need to understand and begin to look back over your life. Who is he? He is my deliverer. He is the freedom that I seek, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, God the Father, my deliverer, my way maker. When you look at the things that we were hooked on, the things that had us bound, the things that had us stealing, robbing, lying one to another, destroying houses and families and relationships. God delivered us, the Holy Spirit. He left with us because of the sacrifice of Jesus, his son. And so in that freedom, in that liberty, that's why I talk about the relationship. Who is he? Remember who he is. Remember where he found you. Remember where he came when nobody else would come. The lowly Jesus that came where I was, that came where you was, that'll come when nobody else would come, that would talk to you when nobody else would talk to you. Remember Jesus. Remember the Holy Spirit that will lead you and guide you into all ways of truth. Remember, the Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. But of course you have to remember. So draw back the loins of your mind. Draw in the loins of your mind. Pull your mind back. Pull your mind back. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. The Bible says that he'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. The only way that you can remember, that involves the armor, the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation. I look at the helmet of salvation. Why is it called the helmet of salvation? Salvation for the head. Lord Jesus, salvation for the head. Because if the devil can get your mind, the mind is the battlefield. You ain't got to worry about the feet or the arms. If he can get the mind, renew your mind. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. This is how you remember the relationship, that you remember in the relationship when you were hungry, who fed you, when you were naked. Remember in this relationship who clothed you. Remember when you were barefoot, that who put shoes on your feet. Remember when you were naked and outside, who put a roof over your head and gave you shelter. Remember in this relationship, that you might not take this relationship for granted. And you turn away, you say things against him. You say things to discredit him, or you say nothing at all. And even not saying nothing at all in a relationship is just as bad, because you allow other folks to say things that come against this relationship that you have benefited from. Lord, help us today that we stand up for the relationship that we are in, as you stood for us, as you stood for us and continue to stand for us. Lord, allow us to stand in this hour like never before. I don't know where we are. I don't know what we are doing. But, Lord, stand up in us. Establish us in our goings that will bring increase to your kingdom. Let the word of God be fresh in our mouths.
Yes.
The dimness over our eyes. Lord, allow the light in the name of Jesus to shine in our eyes. In the name of Jesus, that we may wrap this relationship. Oh, God, let us wrap this relationship to the full, Lord Jesus. We are all representatives, and I don't know why in this relationship we don't want to wrap this relationship, but we're covered and smothered by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And everything that we have and everything that we will have or that we will become is because we're covered in the blood of Jesus. Lord, help us to represent this relationship, Jesus.
Yes,
Jesus,
yes, yes.
Jesus, help
yes,
us
yes,
to
yes.
rep this relationship. Not to be caught up in these other things to where we don't represent. We are representatives. When you look at us for NIPSCO, we represent NIPSCO. We represent the job very well. Yeah, they pay my bills. Have we forgot that he that has blew his breath into your nostrils, that he that has given us power to get wealth, that you go up on your way and that you give
to God the praise and the glory for that which you have accomplished, because it is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people.
Yeah.
We are His sheep of His pasture.
Mm.
Oh, how quickly we forget.
Mm.
Just to remind us, not to beat us, not to bruise us, not to whip us, but to remind us. These words are of encouragement, to remind us about the relationship that we're in. And I thank God that we go to the church, or the churches, the buildings, and I thank God for the men of God, the women of God, but we are repping the church houses and the names, and I've been to convocations, and I've been to all the kinds of various meetings, and even as a young man, getting into it. I've seen so many churches and the young people get into it because of the bigging up, the big up to the pastor and big up to the church, and my church is better than yours. Whatever happened to the one body? Whatever happened to many members, one body, to where we edify each other, where we show love? How do we really know that we are believers? That we show love one to another? This relationship, under shepherds, prophets, apostles, teachers, evangelists, deacons, lay members, body of Christ in particular, that we show love one to another. I thank God for every church that doors stand open in the name of Jesus, bringing glory to the kingdom. We need to give glory back to God and remember the relationship. All we are our stewards. When we look at the vineyard and us called in at certain hours, not getting mad at those that come in at the latter hour and receive, we all will receive because we work in the vineyard. We all are king servants, son servants, and we belong to one Father, one Master, one Lord, one God, one faith, one baptism, one blood. And so let us remember this relationship, and in the representation of things and people that are around us that are repping wrong, I encourage you to pull them over to the side and help them to remember about the relationship that they said that they are in, that we give glory to our Father. Let us hold one another accountable, but let us do it in love, in real love.
Lord, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Now, my brother and I got together and got to just talk about some things today, and I said, listen, let's tag team again. And I asked him, you know, where's your heart at? You know, and he said a few things to me, and I said, well, here's the flavor that God gave to me. Now, you may not believe it, but we really didn't sit down and do a whole lot of talking, but just to show you how God always puts it together, turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're going to just read verse 1 through 8. And again, we're coming out of the Amplified because, and now this is saying exactly what the man of God just finished saying. I didn't write it, but it's just saying, showing that God is going to always put you on one accord when He has preordained something to be. And again, I'm reading out of the Amplified. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. God intends for us to be extraordinary, which is what we said earlier. Verse 2, living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfish, gentleness, mildness with patience,
bearing with one another and making allowances because you love one another. Did the man of God just say, whatever happened to? Now, he didn't know what I was finna to read, but let's just go further. Verse 3, be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit and the binding power of peace. Woo, that's powerful. Verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as there is also one hope that belongs to the calling you receive. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, sovereign over all, persuading all, and living in us all. Woo! Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bountiful gift. Verse 8, therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. We'll say that again. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He led a train of vanquished foes, and he bestowed gifts on men. And the verse that sums up what I just read is Psalm 68 and verse 18. Psalms 68 and 18 talks about, therefore it said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He led a train of vanquished foes, and then he bestowed gifts on men. All through this scripture here, we're talking about the things that God has said that he left with the church. He left some stuff here for us to be able to go forward. And I read a book that I bought when I first started in the ministry from a dear friend, a dear man of God here in the city. It's called The Book of Ephesians. So it's a really thick book. And I really looked up to the man of God. Admired him. But when God stopped talking to me concerning this apostolic and prophetic kingdom-mindedness, I couldn't wait to go back to that book because I had only been in the ministry a few months at the time that I bought that book. I really said, I'm getting this from the mighty man of God. And when God began to talk about the apostolic and the prophetic to me, which was new to me, I couldn't wait to go back to and look in that book that I got from this wonderful man of God that I know. And I went right to the verse that talks about, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and my heart got broken for this man of God that I had looked up to had a different view than what the words of the scripture were saying to me. And what the revelation of God was saying to me, and I sunk my head and I put the book away because I was hurt. And so I'm saying this to you is because it's many things like that that keeps you from going forward. Who is he and what is he to you? Who is God that he is mindful of you, that he called you out? That he selected you and sent you to be who he said you are. I often wonder how men and women of God can take a verse and say that apostles were for the early church and there's no evidence that there's no reason for them to be here now. But yet, they don't question you when you say you were called of God to preach the gospel. Who is it that told you that you were selected to preach the gospel? Isn't it the same? Did we just read? Did it say it's the same God? I find it hard to understand sometimes how we allow these everyday things to almost kill us spiritually to where we don't want to do nothing but run away or die or roll up and allow the fullness of what God has been preparing all of our lives, molding us and making us, sending us to this school, putting us through situations, allowing the enemy, yeah, he has to allow the enemy to do things to us for us to grow. Because, see, that's how we get over the hump. No test, no testimony. And so we just sometimes quit. That's why the Lord gave me a long time ago these words. Failure is not an option. And we stand by that here at the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer, Church International. I'm very pleased and wonderful that my son is here. He's one of the founding members of the Warriors for Christ. And when we were in Toledo, a prophetic word was given to us concerning that wolf. See, the wolf always comes to scatter the sheep. So it was a warning. But see, what God did is he put the wolf under my feet. My vehicle ran over the wolf. And that's what the man of God was just saying. He was saying that God intends for us to be able to overcome many things. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 1 says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you are entering to possess and was plucked away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than you. But what did he do? He put them under your feet. Verse 2, and when the Lord your God gives them over to you, and you smite them, then you must utterly destroy them, don't be taking none of their stuff and trying to use it and give it back to God. God can't use it. If he tell you to get rid of it, get rid of it. And when the Lord your God gives them over to you, and you smite them, then you must utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them or show mercy to them. Is that not what you were saying, man of God? You should not make marriages with them. Your daughters you shall not give to his son, nor shall you take his daughter for your son, for they will turn away your sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and he will destroy you quickly. And as you go a little further down, then it gets to talking about the wonderful, mighty, and glorious gifts that come as a result of utterly destroying the enemy when he puts them under your feet. And he give them to you 70 miles, 75 miles an hour going down the highway when the enemy wants you to roll over and turn and get out of his way. He said the gates of hell should not prevail against him. I mean, we can chase him all the way to the gates of hell, and the gates of hell ain't going to stop us from getting him if that's what God told us to do.
Amen. To piggyback on what the man of God just said, something was just ignited in my spirit about the relationship. We in the body of Christ have lost our sons and our daughters to miscellaneous relationships. And God has told us to go after the enemy. And we want our generations, our children, the young people, we need them, we have to have them. But we have to war. I began to even think about relationship to where they have entered into relationships. Your sons, your daughters have entered into relationships with those that are not godly. And they have made covenants with them. The Lord said that you can break these covenants with your prayers, with your labor and prayers.
be able to call your sons and daughters out of darkness. Be able to speak a better thing over their lives. This is the hour of breaking generational curses. When you look at what's in your blood and what's on the bloodline, and then the relationships of them not even knowing that they're coming in covenant with the enemy. God says, no, not so. The Bible says the prayers of a righteous man or righteous woman avail much. This is an hour to pull your children out of the fire. If you ever wanted to pull your children, your seed, your blood, your son, your daughter, your nieces and your nephews, if you ever wanted to pull them out of the fire, this is that hour. The Lord says it will not be long. This is that hour. This is that hour. This is the scripture that came to me. And we have to remember that this is a war. This is a war. And I really wish, and I'm praying that God allows the body of Christ to see it as such, because when we begin to see it as such, we'll move differently, we'll act differently, we'll walk and talk differently, because we're kingdom-minded and understanding that it is a war. And I was took to John 10:10. The Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11 in John, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so we have to understand in this relationship that he is our shepherd, that cares for us, that fights off the wolves, the rod and the staff, to correct us and pull us in, and to beat us when we need whipping. Now, this comes to my mind. The scripture says, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. In this relationship, you have to submit to God. Resist the devil. This is the war part, the strategy, the fight. In the book of Matthew, he gave us the keys to the kingdom, the loosing and the binding. And if this is not a loosing and binding hour, I don't know what is. We need to loose and bind, loose and bind. These are the keys that he has given us. When you begin to see things breaking out in your life, the more you need to understand, he has given you the keys. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. You need to loose and bind, body of Christ. This is that hour. He has given you keys in this relationship for you to loose things and bind things that makes our relationship better, to get more results so we can move around in the earth like we need to, because we are free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The deed is what I do. The deed is the word of God. To be able to move around, but you have to loose and you have to bind every day over your family, over your children, over your finances, over your faith, over your prayer life, over your spirit, your soul, and your body, over your mind, over your job, over your coworkers, over your nieces, over your nephews, over your husband, over your wife. You have to loose and you have to bind for even these relationships to work. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind.
Hallelujah. We pray that everything is going your way and that you are fired up as we are about what God has given us. We got a few more things we're going to talk about, because we're never going to get together and not give you some fodder and not give you some weapons to use. And even right now, we're still in Ephesians. Turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 15 through verse 21. And again, I'm reading out of the Amplified because, again, we are going to give you, we always look, this is the warfare hour. We about fighting a war. And here it says, verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless. That's the warning. But as wise, sensible, intelligent people, here's your weapons. Making the most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Use your time wisely. Verse 17, therefore do not be vague, thoughtless, or foolish, but be understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and do not get drunk. Hello. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Now, turn to Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, and verse 20. That's your reference for verse 18. Verse 19, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. And at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. And the last thing that's a weapon, be subject to one another. Hello. Let me say that again. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. See, here's what people do. People will take Ephesians, and they really will start at verse 22, where it starts talking about wives, be subject and submissive, and adapt yourself to your own husband. See, everybody always want to go there. But there's some stuff in here. And so in order for us to be able to be everything that God wants us to be, we got to be subject to one another. I'm saying this to those of you that are having a problem, because all of us have, with your leadership. Subject yourself unto the man and the woman of God that God has sent you to. If you are on assignment, complete your assignment. If you're not on assignment, I'm going to say this to you, and nobody's trying to steal nobody, but God doesn't intend for anybody to be miserable in ministry. And what I mean by that is you ought always to be fed, always. And you ought always to be able to see how your gift is to be used or to use your gift. Now, the problem is, we think we're supposed to maybe get behind the pulpit or get behind this or go out and do things. We're supposed to start the same way Jesus told us to start, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, to the uttermost possible. You don't start with the nationwide ministry. You start in your family with them daughters and sons that's got all them tattoos and stuff in your house. It's got the earrings and the piercings all over. Yeah, all of us got it. I got some in my house, grandchildren. Yes, indeedy. You have to start teaching them that's in your family. I pretty much believe that every apostle began in his family. Every prophet began in his family. Now, the scriptures talk about Jesus and how he wasn't able to do some things when he was in his home. But we use that too often to not talk to those that's in our family. You know, Jesus had a hard time in his old hometown, and they didn't do nothing. Now, I say that he was only able to do a few. But see, Jesus told us that we would be able to do more. and greater works than his. That means that you begin to hear about people walking by and the shadow of them is raising people up, getting people well. I don't remember in the scriptures if it said that Jesus did that, so that's a greater work. But it didn't happen with Captain Coleman and some of the others. It happened with Peter and some of the early apostles. God left us here on the earth to do some stuff. But if we give in, we don't subject ourselves one to another. Every time somebody says something to us, our little feelings get hurt. We wear them on our sleeves like stripes. Well, I was in the military for 20 years. On this, I got a shirt on right now that's got epaulets on the top of it. The epaulets got a button on it. The button is for you to put those stripes on and your promotions on your shoulders, just like a mantle. The mantle is on your shoulder. The yoke is around your neck, but the weight of it is on your shoulders. But when you get ready to get relieved or to get promoted, it's taken off of your shoulders. When I got promoted in the Air Force, they unhooked the button on my epaulets, and they slid the stripes on the epaulets and closed it back up, and then charged me with the authority to go forth with the promotion. They laid hands on me. Then they declared that that's what I was going to be doing, and then they charged me to do it. Now, when I didn't do it, they came and took their same hands and they unclipped my upper lip and took those stripes away and said, "You demoted, you slothful fella. You didn't do what we charged you to do." But you still got some POTENTIAL. If you act right, you can get them back. Hallelujah.
I think that was very that was very fitting pertaining to us when we talking about army, God's army, and us not really understanding rank and order, the discipline that the body of Christ needs to move in this hour, the beating of the body. Lord Jesus, help us to beat our bodies, to be fit to carry the gospel. We need to be fit, get a workout regimen. We need to do something pertaining to our health. We are supposed to be in good health and prospering, even as our soul prospers. So we need to do something naturally as well as spiritually, because God is bringing the wealth to us now in this hour. The wealth of the wicked that we pray about, that we talk about. The wealth of the wicked being laid up for the righteous, the just. And I want to speak to the body of Christ in particular pertaining to the things that God have called you to that are not inside the building. I want to talk to you for a second, because this still is dealing with relationship. You knowing who God is, God knows who you are and what you are to him. Secret service. What you are to him, a ninja, a sniper, somebody that he can use in his army to move around and get the job done. The Bible says that we ought to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Let's really apply the word of God to our real natural life so we can get results. I want to just speak a whole lot of scriptures and do a whole lot of stuff and get no results. No, I pray, Lord, allow me to apply the word of God to my life, and then that I may be able to demonstrate what it is that you have given me. So in this hour, we see manifestation. God is blessing and opening up doors. I've been praying that God establish me in different areas. And so God is moving me in the
in the world arena for his glory, for the kingdom. He's raising me up. I thank God for that. And those of you that God has called and he has chosen, this is the hour to move with the businesses, the business plans, those with the Joseph anointing that have been took advantage of, that have been stripped because they were the beloved, because he was loved by his Father. Oh, my God. And when we begin to talk about the favor of God, Lord Jesus, in the relationship, thrown in the hole, sold by his brothers, and sent to a faraway land, locked up, meets the butcher and the baker, meets the Pharaoh, Potiphar, the Joseph anointing, to where the skillful wisdom, as the sons of Issachar, men and women understanding the time, praying for skillful wisdom. Body of Christ, continue to pray for wisdom. Wisdom in this hour, in this time, to where God can illuminate you, to where your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. He never said that they were saved. He said that your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Let's apply this word, that we may be able to demonstrate it. And so God is bringing me before men that are saved and that are unsaved, that are great men in the earth. God is positioning me. When you look at Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, they worked in government, God using them and bringing them before great men because of their gift. And when God positions you, know this, don't eat what everybody else is eating. Don't do it. Don't eat what everybody else is eating because that you are in, because the time has come for you to come into a place you knew you were going, you knew God was going to open the door. Don't sit down and eat everything that they eat and partake of. Don't do it. Don't do it, body of Christ. I'm telling you, don't do it. That's why we pray for wisdom, skillful wisdom. So we understand the signs of the time. We understand what God is saying and how he's moving. And so that we can be a benefit and a blessing to the body of Christ. And when God favors you, when God honors you, when God illuminates you, know this about God our Father. Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When I researched that, it said that it was about his realm, which means where he lives, and his character. Begin to seek the God realm, where he is, and what goes on in his realm, and his character. His character. God is looking for his character in us. The realm of God should be in us because we create the atmosphere of glory.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so when you go, you bring glory into darkness. You bring light into darkness. That's why you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, don't go nowhere until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait. In Jerusalem. Now, body of Christ, he that has an ear, let him hear. Where is your Jerusalem? Where is your Jerusalem? That you may be filled, endowed with power. Where is your Jerusalem? Begin to pray and ask God, where is your Jerusalem? But when he brings you in, don't eat the king's meat. Pray for wisdom and watch the relationship. Watch how he favors you because you love him, because you care for him, because you seek him, because you seek his character. Remember the relationship, who he is and who he is to you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name. I thank you, my brother, my son, my friend, my confidant. Let's give it up for Prophet Matthew Barnes, being used of God. I mean, he just had me sitting over here just having a fit.
We're going to open up the lines right now, and we pray that we've been a blessing to you on tonight. We do have some time left, and we're going to come back. We're going to allow the prophet to pray. Go ahead. The lines are now open.
Amen. Apostle Clark?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you. Got an echo.
Amen. I'm excited about what God has done tonight. And as you were speaking, it came back to me as a child when we used to watch, I used to watch television with my brother. And we used to watch The Lone Ranger.
Okay.
We would watch The Lone Ranger, and, you know, each week when that program would come on, as The Lone Ranger, he would just always come to somebody's aid. He would come to, you know, he would help somebody. And then after he would help them with their problems, at the end of the show, you know, would always end with The Lone Ranger riding off with his friend, I think his name was Tonto or something.
Yeah.
And when he would ride off with him, you would see the other people in the background saying, "Who is that masked man?" And, you know, and someone would answer and say, "That's the Lone Ranger." And it took my mind how Jesus, he had traveled, you know, for 3 years with his disciples. And they went through, what, Palestine, preaching and teaching. He was performing miracles. And then during that time, had anyone recognized him? You know, before beginning that journey in Jerusalem, Jesus, he had asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And then, you know, my mind went back when you were talking about, I think, Bill Withers. Who is he? And what is he to you? And so I took the initiative to just play a portion of that song. Who is he?
A man we pass. Just tried.
And, you know, I don't want to play the whole song, but I wanted to play a portion of it. But who is he to you? And when you were saying that, you know, I thought about when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" You know, and they all gave different answers. And so that kind of touched my heart because, you know, as you and Prophet Barnes was going forth, an excellent team, excellent. And I just started thinking about, they knew who the Lone Ranger were, but they really didn't know who Jesus was. So I say, as Jesus is the Messiah, and he's all-knowing and he's omnipresent, and it's so important that we know who is he and what he is to us personally so that we can go forth and we can do as he have directed us to do. So I just want to thank God for you and acknowledge you and Prophet Barnes just for pouring into the people and just being faithful to God and faithful to the things of the kingdom. And as the broadcast is heard over and over, as different people click on the line and they can listen to it. It'll be there forever. As long as we're here, the broadcast will be available. So I just want to just thank you for being faithful and pouring into God's people.
Amen. Well, to God be the glory. We just humble servants. We just happen to kind of like, we like warfare. You know, he gave us a wonderful name, Warriors for Christ, and we try to live up to that warrior mentality, and iron sharpens iron, and when we get a little slothful, which we do at times, we're able to sharpen one another up and to go forth. So we thank you for those kind words, but to God be the glory.
Amen, amen. And also I thank God that even what you went through with on the road, that you're being kept. You're being kept, no weapon. And certainly when I heard that, you know, I just gave God glory because he's everywhere. He is everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I thank you, woman of God, for you prayed for me before I hit the road. And little did I know, I've made that trip 100 times in the past six years. And I've never expected what happened this time. But God knows what he's doing. And when we give in to it, as apostles say, he's 11:59:59 God, boy. Talking about right in the nick of time. And that's so true. That is, damn, that is so, so true.
Well, he brought you back safely, and your wife still loves you, so praise the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, the lines are still open. If we can hear you. Okay, well, we do have a few announcements. Again, the lines are still open, and we pray that we've been a blessing to you. On next Friday, here in the City of Glory at 235 West 40th Avenue, here in the City of Gary at the Living Way Christian Center, we're going to be having a shut-in. We're inviting all men and boys to come and be with us on that night. We're going to be here from 9:30 p.m. until 6:30 a.m. That's Friday, March 23rd, from 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time to 6:30 a.m. Central Standard Time on Saturday. And we're going to talk about stuff that affects us. Women have been so wonderful and supporting us and pushing us and exhorting us, and it's time for us to talk about some stuff and get a few things, talk about some things that uniquely affect us and how we can overcome them, what the scriptures say about it, and just talk about some stuff that put us in a position to be transparent one with another. We're gonna have a wonderful movie that we're gonna watch it, that we're gonna analyze. It's a wonderful Christian movie, and we're gonna have some panel discussions like we're having now. We have and we're gonna have open dialogue with everyone that's here. We're gonna have some praise and some worship. We're gonna just have some fun with the Lord. So we pray that you will come. There's going to be some prophetic anointing and utterances going on. The address is 235 West 40th Avenue here in the City of Gary. It's right in between Jefferson and Adams. If you come down Broadway and head west, come down a block and a half, and we sitting on your left. But we pray that you will come and be a part of us. And we pray We thank you for joining in with the Warfare Hour. We do pray that you would, however, support the Kingdom Daughters and the Kingdom Builders International. We don't ask you anything for Warriors for Christ. It's just, you know, just for you being, you know, God's going to always make room for us, but help keep the Kingdom Builders and the Kingdom Daughters. They have some men and women of God on the air every day of the week for you, doing everything that they can under the mandate of what God has given them. So support them as you already have, even before we got started. You've been supporting them. So continue with your support of the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders. And those of you that are saved and don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, we're going to have a Prophet Barnes give you the prayer of salvation. And, well, here we go.
Amen.
Those of you that are not saved that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, right where you are, hopefully not driving in the car is moving, but right where you are, begin to just repeat after me, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to receive salvation. Lord, we ask that you will forgive me for all of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that your son Jesus died and he rose again. I believe that you are God and you are God alone. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior into my heart and that he is with me. Now, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit can come in and comfort me and speak to me and lead me and guide me in all ways of truth. I surrender my will. I yield my will for yours. Lord, teach me in your word. Show me how to walk right, how to talk right, and how to live and treat the people that I live with and around, and that I may bring glory to you and your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Have you just said those words or anything close to that, but saying that Jesus is your Lord and Savior was the key part of that, then hallelujah! Because that's what they're doing in heaven. And they're dancing the jig. You ever seen the country? Out of the country, they having a hooting at about you. And so we having a holy dance over here in the sanctuary right now. And welcome to the fold. Welcome to the fold. God is getting ready. And we're going to, no matter what city you're in, no matter what state you're in, drop a line to Kingdom Daughters. Drop a line to Kingdom Builders. Drop a line to Warriors for Christ. Let us know where you are. We'll do everything that we can to get you in a Bible reading, Bible teaching, kingdom-minded, warfare-centric assembly where you can continue getting some of what you heard on tonight. Hallelujah. And if you don't have a Bible, stay on the line and make sure that you contact the Kingdom Daughters. They'll send you a Bible. Hallelujah. It don't get no better than that. They'll send you a Bible. Make sure it gets to your hands so that you have your own sword of the shield. You have your own weapons of warfare. Hallelujah. We invite you to continue to come with us on Thursday evening, Central Standard Time at 8 p.m. for the Warfare Hour, for we believe that failure is not an option. We believe that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We believe that as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things shall be added unto us. And we also believe that as we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding and all our ways to acknowledge him, that he shall lead, guide, and direct our paths. We're going to pray, and then we're going to let you go. Hallelujah. Well, before we go, is there anybody else who just got a burning desire to say anything? I know our hosts sometimes like to pray for us. So we're going to give you this opportunity now. You can go ahead, or if anyone else has anything that they would like to say, now is your time.
Well, the lines are still open. If there's anyone that have comments or a testimony, we do have a few minutes. Well, praise God. We know that you stayed on the line, so God bless you. We pray that you were blessed. We know that you were blessed. Well, Father God, we thank you for this hour of power. Lord God, we thank you for your Rhema word. And we give you glory and honor for who you are, Lord God. And we ask you right now that you would just touch Apostle Clark and Prophet Barnes with a finger of your divine love. Once again, Father, renew and refresh them, Lord God, and keep any hurt, harm, or danger away from them, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you're working through them. We thank you, Father God, that everything about them is blessed. We call their family blessed, Lord God, and we thank you, Father God, that as they go forth doing the work for the kingdom, Lord God, that you would make successful their way, Lord God. You said you'll give seed to the sower, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that even as you have given vision, you're making provision, Lord God, for the vision that you have given both of them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, because we do understand that failure is not an option. So we decree and declare that victory is already done in their lives. In the mighty Master's name of Jesus, we pray and we say amen, amen.
Amen, amen. God bless you, woman of God. And again, we pray that you would contact us on Facebook. Also, Matthew, you have a Facebook?
Contact me on Facebook on Matthew Barnes. Go to my email. msmkbarnes@gmail.com.
Amen. And you can contact us at Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International at 2225 Roosevelt Place here in the city of Gary. Also, you can send correspondence to Living Way Christian Center, 235 West 40th Avenue here in the city of Gary. And then we look forward to hearing from you and stay in contact with the Kingdom Dollars and the Kingdom Builders and all of the podcasts that we do every Thursday. They record them, and you can come back on even after you hang up tonight, and you can just press on anyone, and you can listen to any of the podcasts that we've done ever since September. There's several pages of podcasts. We've had some wonderful subjects dealing with how to understand the Kingdom and the weapons of warfare, because this is the warfare hour. Thank you for being with us. We're going to have our music now. God bless you and God keep you. We'll see you next week. Failure is not an option.